hear replicating an object in clay.
Many artifacts have been made there.
The clay is soft, still wet, with a slippery layer of moisture to it. It's still cold too. I've just peeled it from the layers of plastic it was wrapped in.
Supply of material is running low.
No one else is in here. It is empty. The room is cold with disuse.
No one can see you. Of this you can be certain. Location. This is a
dusty workshop.
It is lit by
unseen lamps.
This place
has been in disuse for some time.
Inside there are
the remnants of clay models and wooden sticks.
The room was once
home to a constant production.
Among the contents are
the pieces I have made for the advanced type, found here in small number. Firstly, a small lump of clay is torn off, and the shorn edge is rounded slowly into a ball between the flat palms. Looks to be thumb and forefinger used to pinch one end. A snout protrudes with indentations to house the tiny eyes. The point of a sharp pencil is used to mark the dark, round little eyes, leaving a fine deposit of graphite in the so-called sockets. By merely dropping the semi-formed the lump onto the table, a flat bottom could be created on which it would rest. Two smaller lumps are then broken off and divided in two. They are rolled into little sausages between fingers. Attaching clay to clay requires cross-hatching four small areas around the base of the lump. A patch of cross-hatching on the sausages is then made. Then it is simple to dampen these areas with a little water on the fingers. Dab the sausages on and smooth them in with the fingers. Legs are made in this way consistently. The next move is to dig and flick out two nostrils with another pointed skewer, then to press down on the paws with a pointed tool, spacing the claws neatly. Finally, to roll and prick the stick across the back, leaving behind a series of grass-like markings, muddy and tamped down.
Introducing artifact. This is a
clay hedgehog.
It is decorated with
tiny spear shapes.
This object
stares with a determined solitude.
On the item is
a snout.
The artwork relates to
hedgehogs.
On the item is an image.
It is a signature. I must say, the working conditions are difficult. The table is lit bleakly.
Quantify its size, please.
I can reach both ends with my fingertips when my arms are outstretched.
Now describe its texture for me, please.
It's wooden. Grooves and stains mark it.
Identify any surplus material on the table.
Well, a lot of this debris has been made by myself this morning. Those bits I've pulled off in making the snout, hollowing the eye sockets and so on, those are still glistening, just a little with the moisture of the fresh clay. The other particles have been swept to the sides of the table. There is a sticky wet patch, dark on the wood, made where the large lump of clay I started with was sat in the first instance. Round and about, pushed to the edges, are similar little pieces of clay, although these have dried to flakes now, with that kind of hairy, fibrous texture showing through. The dry clay makes fingers feel dry and dusty. Fingerprints show in places.
Define the surrounding area.
The darkness is dense, away from the surface of the table.
Expand on the previous comment for me, please.
I can see my feet under the table, and around and about are little pieces of dropped clay. Some have been smashed down by the thin metal legs of this chair, like flattened peas on a school dining room floor. And the little pieces of clay each have their own shadows, because the light is coming from slightly behind my left ear. On the floor, the shadows are about the same size as those little tiny lumps. Of course, they haven't fallen far from here, and they can't roll, so they're all very close to the table legs, some actually touching them. My thinking is that they would begin to form little deposits, little anthill shapes after a time, as more and more little pieces plop down and land on each other, like whipped cream sinking into an ice cream sundae. Some of the pieces have a kind of dust on them, a very fine dust, and they have also begun to crack and craze like the dust of a loaf. I suppose they are hardening into their demented forms.
Enumerate the other furniture as well as the surplus material, please.
It's strange. I'm somewhat spotlighted here, and the corners are very dim. I think there are cupboards and a sideboard running around the room, probably with other little items on them, broken pieces or aborted hedgehogs. Tools, too, the kind that will make little dents in soft clay, good enough to look like pointed spines.
Thank you. The directive is to look more closely.
Sadly, I cannot see more closely, my dear. I can see that there are shadows, and sometimes within those shadows exist other, smaller objects, their shadows being taken up within the pool of darkness they sit in. But behind these smaller particles, I cannot say. There may be others, smaller still, or else nothing. A sheaf of dust, a curl of newspaper or sawdust. There may be nothing but a mode of display, a shelf, and an incidental object accidentally alighting there. It may be an aesthetic blankness.
The directive is to get up from the table and move over towards the neglected sideboards. Your hands are to move out to touch something behind the shadow.
Yes, I move over, but my fingers touch only smaller pea-sized lumps. When I pick them up and move them, I can reinstate their small shadows against the raking light. I could do that. I could stand here sorting all the objects to ensure each has a distinct line of sight from the lamp to its bare front side. I could render it all frontal and not at all obscured.
The annotation is that behind the pea-sized lumps there are smaller items which you have not touched.
Yes, that if I touch I disintegrate. Yes, that crumble to dust, that fall away.
Do you obstruct the communication of these to me?
No, I simply say they could not withstand it.
They are to be rendered piece by piece.
There are no pieces, so something is there, and then a dust. Something in that is there, and then it has gone into the blank stuff of this place.
It is directed the eyes move over the dusty surface, scanning for larger particles in the dust.
My eyes are now sweeping over the surface, which is a carpet of tiny fragments. My sight alights on nothing so much as it is gone when I return, like a searchlight moving over ever-changing waves in the crinkled surface of the sea. The moment at which the crest rises and amounts to its loss, the trough of its existence at its peak, I wish to render for you the dusted surface as a mechanical music device reads holes in a sheet. It plays them at an instant while they curl away.
This is free text.
Some things that are initially identified as hedgehogs aren't. They are cross-hatched lumps of clay gone dry. While some things that should not really be hedgehogs are. Turned like tight little animal droppings, wrung with etched lines and narrow plucked snouts like a shrew's. These, with their blind little eyes, make some appearances amongst the swept together litter, whether early or made by children is uncertain. They have an unsteadiness of existence, fallen here, crumpled in a manner both despondent and curiously alert in posture, a gaiety inflicted on their less than adequate substance, that is the mark of childhood production indeed. Little dark turds of matter. They do not have legs, have not been given any. Their construction emanating from their removal from the solid lump of clay, and torn forth, being subsequently adorned by scratched lines. No further true attempt at sculpting them is then made. I touch them, and roll them, and remove my skewer, being as if they truly were droppings. This sharp implement sometimes damages them, but they are not artifacts, being not art.
Leave the room. You need to go further.
I'm insetting the soft facial fur with one of these very finely pointed sticks. I'm back at the table now. I'm creating the hairs individually, cross-hatching them in places.
The directive is to leave the room. You are instructed to proceed.
I will stay here to finish the facial fur. Mine shall be left in the very centre of this table, since all their bodies shall remain the last of the supply of the clay, which once set by my hand, and in turn by the air, may not be broken down and reconstituted again. I may arrange them as a group, with eyes trained to face this dark entrance. I may display them with some naturalistic verve, as if they scurried and snuffed about the debris lying here. As if this was their garden, these lamps their guiding moonlight. In all cases, they shall animate this space. These other things, sad and strange, will not betray them. There can be no usurpers. These are the last.